Envision this. It is your natural ability, the natural ability of all human beings, to navigate conscious oneness and to have unlimited communication with energies beyond the physical. This is the vision of Sheila Applegate, tonight's guest on Envision This. Sheila is founder of the Be Awesome Guide to Conscious Living 12-step program, which provides a blueprint to release personal roadblocks and ignite your imagination and help you embrace an abundant life of joy and passion. Sheila is also a consciousness consultant, a presenter, award-winning author, and entrepreneur. Her book, Enchanted One, The Portal to Love, weaves together messages from the divine feminine and provides readers with a guide to embracing love in every moment, in every situation. Sheila and we, your hosts, Mary and Burl Hall, invite you to join our conversation at any time during the live broadcast by calling 646-652-2235. That number again is 646-652-2235. So we hope you will help us to say welcome, Sheila.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
And we're happy to have you.
Sheila, what experiences in your own life led you to develop the philosophy underlying your Guide to Conscious Living?
Well, I think we can look back through my whole childhood, and I've always had an affinity towards the divine, and really felt the spiritual connection. I was raised in a Lutheran home and really had a great church community, but as I developed and grew, I knew that there was more to the journey than I was experiencing through the church, and I began to explore other areas. I started my career as a clinical social worker, a therapist, and at the same time, I was exploring a metaphysical Christian church and learning to do guided meditations and energy healings. And I realized that I felt like I was sitting on my hands in therapy. I could help people analyze what was going on, pinpoint what was happening for them and where it originated. But I now had tools to help them release it that I wasn't able to use in my traditional job. So I jumped off of that and onto my own. And at that point, I was also developing my skills as a spiritual reader. And so I spent 20 years teaching guided meditation and teaching and giving spiritual readings and spiritual healings. And as the years went on, I've always felt it was important for people to understand that this is the normal way of being. I'm not special. I'm just witnessing to the world the way we're all supposed to navigate life. We're all capable of navigating life. So during all of those years, I think since my childhood, I've been very dedicated to my own personal growth and mastering this for myself. So rather than focusing on just how I could help other people, my primary focus has always been how can I strengthen myself and move towards conscious oneness. And so for the last, 5 or so years, I've really been living from that full place of conscious oneness and being able to navigate through that through my day and access all the different dimensions to support me. And life is way easier. So my passion sort of shifted from helping people by sharing my gifts with them to helping people to develop their natural ability to live in that space. And that's what's led me to the teaching of the conscious oneness.
When and how did you become passionate about helping people reach their highest potential through conscious living?
I think if I guess I can't remember a time I wasn't passionate about it. Obviously, it grew with me as I grew and developed. But I think it's been just a part of my core my entire life, and finding the good in everyone. I think that before I really did, I mean, I've always been working on myself, but of course there was life experience that had to help me learn how to navigate with people. And so I think I always saw people's highest potential. When I would look at someone, I would see their soul and I would see their beauty. In some of my younger years, I would kind of ignore the behaviors that weren't congruent with it, and sometimes that hurt a lot. So I went through life learning on my own. My deepest teachers have always been in the spirit world, and I've always had access to that, and I can't imagine how others would be able to, it's hard for me to imagine navigating without that. So that passion to, when I looked around, I think it's been developing my whole life, but I can't remember a time I wasn't, when I looked at people and realized that they didn't, for whatever reason, have the access to the guidance that I had. I just wanted to help people to find that, and my way of helping people developed over the years, and I really feel like I kind of fine-tuned it over the last year, and that's what the Be Awesome program is. It's when I finally reached a point where I could put this all together in a sequential program that could really guide people to that point.
So you became awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. Or I remembered I was awesome.
Yeah, we all are. We all are.
Right, exactly.
It doesn't always show, and sometimes it shows to other people, but we don't realize it or admit it ourselves.
Exactly, I think. And as a society, we're shifting, but we really haven't created a society that encourages us to claim our awesomeness.
Right.
Yeah, and I think one of the important things that you're saying in reinforcing what you just said is that we're so controlled by the external authorities, the corporations, mm-hmm. and so on, that we don't really have the time and, standardized education and so on, but we don't have the knowledge or the time to really go within and tap into those deeper dimensions. And I think you've really taken the ball into your own court, or however that should be.
Right. I agree with you. I don't think our world is designed to do that. And then at the same time, I think, do we have the time not to do it? Which I'm sure you agree with. Like, can we afford not to do this? Because people are giving over their entire life to survival. At the same time, we have developed as a human race to be able to do incredible things and have incredible resources available to us that are meant to make life easier. We really shouldn't be navigating from a survival instinct at this point. We have a society, we have the capability with all that we've invented to be living beyond that now. And so one of the things with the program that the Be Awesome program, and is that it's about integrating that in our life, because I think that a lot of people think, well, spiritualism is separate, or consciousness is something separate, and I have to set aside time for that. And people are always saying, I don't have time for that. But my mission is for people to realize that it's a part of every moment. So, the lessons that people get are both audio and written. So if they have to listen to them in the car, they can listen to them in the car. Or if they read before they go to bed, they can. But it's not lengthy thought. It's not lengthy words. It's everything holds a point and helps to open up. And then the exercises I offer are actually exercises to help us integrate into our daily life. So they're exercises that we do throughout our day while we go to work or whatever it is we're doing. So I think we can step above that and realize that everything gets easier when we start to apply these things. So even though society isn't supporting that, we can step in and make that choice.
In what way is Be Awesome a 12-step program?
Well, it was. It comes in 12 weeks. It was written to be a 12-week program, 12-week program, and then each week you get three lessons. And so when I, you know, I sort of was just guided by spirit, of course, on how many weeks to make it, and I kind of picked the number of weeks before I wrote the lessons, and I realized it came out right to that perfect number. And it wasn't until after that I realized it relates, it doesn't, there's been so much energy in our world, beautiful energy, that the 12 steps have helped people. 12 has been a powerful number. So I didn't write it with that intention. I wrote it out of guidance and then realized that 12 weeks, the 12 steps, were important. And while it's written in a way, it's developed in a way for you to really move through every lesson in 12 weeks. And sometimes people feel like, you know, I want more time on this one, this lesson. But the thing is that the next lesson supports the one before it. So what it is, the cycle is, I encourage everybody to go right through it for the 12 weeks, and then you have it for the rest of your life. So if you want to then take one lesson a week and kind of spread it out and really go deeper, you can. But I think that the way we teach spirituality, and I don't even want to separate it as spirituality, it's full integration and consciousness, is separate. Like I said, we go to church or we go to meditation class or yoga, and then we go back to our life. Or we think we have to master this one step before we can go further, when in reality, just going to those other levels of understanding support us in the one that we might be stuck on. So it's developed in a way to move through all the steps once and then be able to go through them again as often as you need to.
Mm-hmm. How does your program help folks to release personal roadblocks?
Each lesson will move back to that and give them more and more skills and abilities to do that. But in the earlier lessons, one of the things, and I think that, Burl, this kind of goes with the question the statement you made earlier. One of the early lessons really is about helping people to look at their belief systems and see and really explore, where did I get that? Was it given to me by society? Do I really still believe it? And so this awareness of what am I doing and what am I choosing and why? Because I think we go through a lot of our life just making these decisions based on what we think we're supposed to do without evaluating that. So that's definitely one way. And then we're also helping people to connect with their spirit guides and their higher self and to learn to navigate some of the higher frequencies of energy, from the oneness of God, all that is, to Alpha and Omega. I use the new earth, your vibrant self and your ascended self. So people are learning to navigate these different energies, and in doing that, they learn through the conscious meditation to move and see things from a different perspective. So you can look at the same issue from your earthly self, or you can shift your attention through the conscious meditation and look at it from one of your higher selves and have new insights and simply release from that as well. So there's a lot of different ways that people are able to release their roadblock. And the other thing is, there's a lot of subtleties. My big thing is about teaching the subtleties. So we have a lot of teachings out there right now. Like, we're inundated with teachings. And so people are learning about the law of attraction, and they're learning about, you know, the ego and all these different things. But a lot of times they just don't fully apply. Like, they can't get to that final piece that brings it all together. And there's some little nuances, little tiny, subtle, but very profound points that when we understand them, they just shift things, and then the energies open up, and we are able to use those things that we're learning about.
I'm just curious, do you feel, and this is kind of a personal question for me, do you feel that we are on the cusp of an evolution? At the same time, we're also at a very dangerous pivotal point in terms of, you know, mass extinctions and that sort of thing. But I'm really interested in if you're thinking that we're on the cusp of an evolution.
Yes, I absolutely do. I don't fear extinction. I feel like everything that I've heard from the divine and when I navigate those higher energies is we're really past that. And I know it seems precarious and it seems like the world is still in deciding, but my energy sees it as already, and it's about catching up and bringing our physical world to that point. So I feel very hopeful about that, very excited, actually. I feel like we're past the tipping point of decision and that we're just picking up momentum to really create that, what I call the vibrant earth here, where we're living to our full potential. And I see it as a completion of a part of our evolution that we were meant, or we decided to go into this densest energy to explore it. And now we're coming back out of it. And one of the things that we were using this dense time and space energy for was to understand emotions. So some of those darker emotions that maybe are rising up in the earth right now, they're just rising up for us to release and move forward. Now, at the same time, I have a unique perspective on death, because I don't believe we really die. When you're really navigating all these energies, you're not as attached to the physical body. So if the world was to cease to exist as we know it, it would still be existing in the higher frequencies anyway. So I guess whichever way the world, you know, the humans decide to play this out, or the world decides to play it out, we still will eventually reach that same frequency, because we're all that is, and nothing can be outside of that. So no matter what we do, we end up in that space.
We are a part of the all, and not only just a part or a particle, but we each in a holographic way contain all of the all. And that, I think, is such a wonderful, wonderful realization.
Right. And we contain the all. In my own ideas that, and you know, if you study all any religion, you always, and I'm going to call it by what David Bohm, the physicist, called it, is the unmanifest as being the beginning, which in the Bible is Genesis 1:2, and that's where all the infinite potential comes. And tapping into that, we can create a whole new world. You know, we have the potentials within us. And I think that's what I'm hearing you say.
Yes, absolutely. And I love the descriptions you guys are using, because if we get to it later, fractal illumination is a new energy program that Zach and I have developed that is all about that, what you just said. We're a fractal of all that is. We are all that is, and we're a piece of all that is at the same time. And we are that. So to me, I guess that's when I don't see the world, my world. And then we know there's all these multiple timelines, and you know, today's such a fun day because everybody's celebrating the Back to the Future is here now, like it was the last day of that movie years and years ago. So everyone's talking about timelines again and time travel, but that's all part of it too. So as soon as we decide to be awesome, right, to live an awesome life, our life is awesome. Now, somebody else could wake up next door to us and have a completely different day or a different view of the world, and it's going to respond to them in that way. So I'm already living in that space that's wonderful. And it's not that I'm denying the fact that these other things are going on in the world. I just see them from a different perspective, and they affect me in a different way. And I think that's what you're also saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm getting there.
while you're bringing it up, let's talk some about fractal illumination. Envision. And it's something that you co-developed with a partner and...
Well, you know, it just, it came to us spontaneously one night. We were just talking and there was a, it was actually a Lemurian crystal sitting on my table. Now this is where I sound a little bizarre, but I just picked it up for some reason and I put it up to my third eye and I started moving it. Now I don't know why I did that. That's not something I normally do. But as we were chatting, all of a sudden I realized that I could feel a beam of light going from the crystal into different points in my brain and it was releasing energy. That was the start. And then spirit got, it got bigger and bigger and spirit started to direct us in how to use this energy. I don't like to call it a healing because it's more than a healing. We call it an activation or an igniting of the energy inside of people, because I don't think we need to be healed. We're all completely whole. And I know on our process to remembering, we go through a healing process, but at some point we have to claim that we're whole and still allow energy work to occur. So we don't call it a healing, but it is an energy that, as that light, I learned then from spirit, we learned how to use that energy on other people. And as I did that, it was releasing, again, roadblocks for people and that were embedded in their cellular memory. But what happened as we moved deeper and deeper into it is I witnessed a disc that was released and moving around and supporting people. And I spoke with some people who understand physics, and I described what I was seeing, and this person said to me, "You just discovered the galactic disc. It's inside of everyone, and it is everything." And Spirit had been saying, call it fractal illumination before that, but I didn't understand why, and then we understood. So we have this energy technique that helps people adjust to the new frequencies. We've talked about the evolution that we feel coming. Our energies of our world are rising up. A lot of people are having trouble adjusting to that, and so this helps them to, it helps bring our bodies along to these higher frequencies. And then within it, as it developed more and more, we began to understand, again, my passion, like we said earlier, has always been to not just do things for people, but to empower them to do things also. So I don't really know how yet to teach people to do that technique, but what we are teaching people is how to participate in it with us consciously by what we call conscious imagineering and helping people to use their energies and their imagination to move into a feeling state of imagination. If you've ever experienced where it's not, doesn't just think, seem like you're thinking it, you actually feel it. And to bring that in and to be able to more consciously claim the life that they want through that technique.
I think, you know, you're kind of addressing a little bit about what the next question is, but I'd like to see you go a little bit deeper. In what way do you think the current energies of our world are shifting, and what role does fractal illumination play in the process?
Mm-hmm. So, yes, I was starting to address that. Like we had talked about earlier, I do believe there's an evolution. I see us rising in energy, and I see the Earth frequency. I do see, you know, we see a lot of things happening in the Earth. To me, it's more of... you know, when you get a massage or an energy treatment or something, and then you end up maybe with the runs or a cold or something, you have to release some of the old energy. So I think that what some people are seeing is really negative signs. I see as the Earth just rising in energy and sort of releasing some of the denser energy that doesn't support us anymore. And then the human, the actual human being, and even animals too. I've actually done fractal illumination on dogs and other animals, but the human, I believe we're evolving as humans. So as we're bringing in the higher frequencies. So we're not going away. That's a lot of my teaching too, where when I first started out with guided meditations, we always went, right? We went to a garden. We went to the crystal city. We would go, leave our bodies. And now it's about bringing all those higher energies here. Instead of leaving, we bring them here to us on Earth. So we're working as a collective to bring those higher energies to Earth. We're melding those energies. And in doing that, our bodies are sort of stuck in the middle. And some people are experiencing some body aches as we make this transition, or some weird weird effects, you know, weight gain or memory difficulties. There's all these different side effects to the transition of that, and trying to adjust to those energies. So fractal illumination is intended to support the body so that we can just let everything flow more easily and we don't have to struggle. I think a lot of people call them ascension symptoms, but I see them as evolution symptoms, I guess.
Before the broadcast, we were talking with telling you that we tend to experience the brain losses that are involved in Burrell's Alzheimer's as being a disconnecting from the three-dimensional conventional conditioned world, so that his mind is opening more and more to the all, to the collective wisdom of the universe. Is this the kind of thing that you're saying what may look like a terrible thing like the disease of Alzheimer's may actually be a releasing?
Yes, absolutely. And I have done, over the years, I've done many readings for people whose loved ones had Alzheimer's. So they would ask me to tune in, and especially when the people maybe had moved beyond being able to really communicate. So for years, I've had this understanding by having the gift of being able to experience and talk to the people beyond their physical body, that what Alzheimer's was is people exploring those, exactly what you said. And that's what every reading that I've tapped into someone with Alzheimer's, everything varies, but it's all been along that line where they're exploring the other dimensions while keeping a focal point on Earth. And it also gives them a chance to navigate those, to learn. It's sort of like the crash course at the end of, you know, when you're cramming, right, in the last phase of this one incarnation, so that you can get the most out of it. And sometimes we know there are some biological things that are affected too, but what it does is it lessens their attachment to the physical density and gives them that freedom to explore. So when people are saying, oh, they think it's back at this time. So the beautiful thing about Alzheimer's is that they're navigating both timelines. So what I call horizontal oneness, in a sense, they're navigating through different timelines, through their timeline. So at some point, they're remembering, you know, so if somebody sees their daughter and thinks it's their wife because they're remembering an earlier time, or sees a grandchild and thinks it's their child because they're living in a different time of their life fully. Like, I guess even what I say with the fractal illumination, that really feeling imagination is, that's sort of, this is an extreme of it. You're moving through those dimensions, really fully experiencing it while still keeping a focal point in this physical world. Some of the times I've seen people doing that because they didn't know. They were afraid of what happened afterwards. So they needed that time to kind of put their toe in the water before letting go. And then I think there's other people that just wanted to experience it, to free themselves so that they could learn more during that time, because it's such a unique experience to be able to have a body, and there's so much we can do when we're connected to the physical in that way. And I don't think people realize the beauty of that. But we were also talking, and I know I want you guys to be able to share your perspective too, but I just want to say I've been noticing that. My father has dementia right on the line of being diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and an uncle is in the same position. So I've really experienced this a lot with in my life lately. And then the mirror of what happens with me, because I am navigating all those different energies, and sometimes my attention is much more up in the higher dimensions than in the physical. Sometimes it's down here, and I've learned pretty well how to navigate that, but, you know, my children have joked with me, because if my attention is in those higher energies, I'm just as forget. Like, I can black out, or not black out, but I cannot remember things. It's all there, but it just takes me longer sometimes, or I'm in a different space. So I've really been kind of seeing it from that perspective. What I'm teaching people in conscious oneness is to be able to navigate it consciously and not lose their mind, or, you know, lose control of that in a sense. And I can access, I actually have a good memory. Sometimes it takes me a moment. I say I have everything stored in my iCloud so that I have the freedom. I have my iCloud that stores it. My etheric iCloud stores all my memories so I can access them, but it takes me a minute because I want to be free to navigate all the different levels. So I am witnessing that people are going through this. And then I'm also witnessing that sometimes like older people, like my mom, for instance, I think that all the technology, all the different things, overstimulation going on, you know, sometimes it just throws her off. And if I do the fractal illumination on her, she just gets all in balance again, and then she can move through the newer energies easier. She spent more time here than I have. You know, I think the children are experiencing the energies easier than we are. And then the more time you spent here in the old energy, the harder it is to navigate into the new energy.
One of the things that I at first saw as a kind of stumbling block regarding Burl's Alzheimer's, and now sometimes I'm able to see as a gift, is that a thought will come into his mind, and for him it's always in the now. It's always fresh. Mm-hmm. And so he'll say something that maybe he's already said 15 times before, and maybe even just 15 minutes earlier. But he says it, and it's clear that for him, this is new, this is now, this is a real discovery and insight. And I'm beginning to just be able to touch the fact that's wonderful, that anything, we don't have to consign the things that we've already thought to our past. That we can experience them new, we can experience them fresh.
You know, I think that's so beautiful, and what I see is so beautiful, and maybe, Burl, why you've chosen this path too, or the two of you have chosen it, that you can be experiencing it and understanding it with such love from this perspective, and then sharing it with the world, like on a radio show like this, or yeah, in your writings. I mean, what an incredible gift you're offering the world with that. But I think what you're right. I think the time and space continuum, the density of, I mean, time is an illusion, and it's only here in the physical density. We created it to explore. And as we move into the higher frequencies, like when I take people in meditation to what I call the vibrant earth, I always say time and gravity are optional. And so if time isn't going to look the way it does now as we move into these higher frequencies. So you're just, I think, mirroring that to us, giving us a glimpse of what it really is when we live in the now. And that doesn't mean that we're all going to be repeating the same thing over and over. But, you know, from a spiritual perspective, we might look like that because we do tend to repeat our issues over and over. Spirit's probably saying the same thing you're feeling.
A core part of the program is your conscious meditation technique. What's so unique about the technique?
Well, you know, I did start out in guided meditation. That's the technique that worked for me early on because my brain does not stop. Well, it does now when I get to the frequency of all that is. But basically, you know, I have a very active brain. So when I was in college and, you know, just trying to lay there and meditate and not, you know, that was not working for me. And then I discovered the guided meditation where I was taken on a journey and then learned to do that for myself. And that gave my brain a job to do, you know, so it could come along on the journey instead of, you know, asking it to sit aside. And then the beautiful thing is that it was becomes a working meditation and I can explore different things with that. And I've learned over the years how important imagination is in creation of everything. So basically I started out teaching guided meditations and different and helping people to explore different frequencies and communicating with others through that. And that is how I became a reader. I learned to navigate those energies for myself, and then I could access that and share other people's information for them. But as time went on and I started to really learn to live in conscious oneness, I started shifting and teaching people. Like I said earlier, one of the things is there's some subtle differences in what I do, where we're just expanding our attention versus leaving our bodies. It's really teaching people to integrate those higher energies into our body. And I think that's the next level of consciousness. And that is that we can be human and access all those higher energies at the same time, not setting ourselves aside and doing it and then trying to integrate later. So I'm teaching people to integrate it the whole time. And then I take it another step to be able to navigate that in their physical life. So I teach techniques to help people be able to not have to go sit down for a meditation, but if you were, say, in a board meeting and you needed a higher perspective, you could instantly just access that while still remaining conscious in that board meeting. And the other piece is some meditation techniques, it's sort of you're here, or you're in the great white silence. You're in just this altered, you know, silent state of calmness, or what I would say all that is, God. And I realized that people needed to fill the gap in, right? There's so many energy. It's a spectrum of energy. So I created some focal points that help people, that have been used by people over the generations, so they hold energy. But I help people to be able to sort of fill in the gaps and go from the cells of the body all the way up to oneness and be able to access all those energies in between and use them in their life in a helpful way.
I came across that years ago in a rather strange way. I had wanted to have natural childbirth. This is 37 years ago. And the way that was presented to me was Lamaze, where you basically disconnected from your body and the contractions and concentrated on something outside of yourself, something outside of what was going on, and disassociated from it. Mm-hmm. And I very quickly, in the process of having contractions and getting ready to give birth, realized that for me that was an absurd process, and that I was much, much better off going right into the contractions and riding them as if I were surfing a wave, as if I was pulling out of the waveform of all of life, the particle of this particular life, this particular to which I was giving birth, and by acknowledging and going into and befriending the pain instead of pretending it wasn't, I think I had a much richer experience of birthing than most people were allowed to at that time, and I'm hoping more and more are able to now.
Yeah, I think that's such a beautiful description of it, because you really did describe what I teach people to do. You were both present in the physical aspect of it, and I work a lot on emotion and helping people experience, you know, emotion or physical pain there to be able to move in it and through it. But in addition to that, you're describing that you were also conscious of the all that is, the waves of life and energy and a union of yourself in it. So you just offered like a perfect example of what my technique helps people to do, so that you're not avoiding life, but at the same time you probably didn't experience the same level of pain because you were also experiencing those waves of creator.
Yeah, exactly. And I certainly didn't experience it as suffering or as frightening in the way that so many do. Listeners, we're talking with Sheila Applegate. She's the founder of The Awesome Guide to Conscious Living Program. She's also the author of Enchanted One, The Portals for Love. Her website is www.sheilaapplegate.com. And if you go there, it will direct you to all her programs and sites. And I'd like to remind you that Sheila and we invite you to join our conversation now if you're listening live by calling 646-652-2235. Now, I just brought up about your book, Sheila. How did you come to write The Enchanted One?
That was a long journey. The book is, I worked a lot in, now I can say my earlier days, with Magdalene. Not my earlier days of my, well, I realized I did in my earlier days of my life. I didn't realize that earlier, but I mean my earlier days of my career. Magdalene had appeared to me one day when I wasn't in a meditation, which made it, that was one of those first moments for me of someone, a spiritual being approaching me when I didn't go in for a meditation. And I began to work very closely with her, and she sort of requested that book. Spirit was nudging me for a lot of years to write that book, and I finally did. So the book is a combination of messages from Magdalene and Isis that I channeled throughout the years. So during those earlier years, I also would do groups where I would channel messages from the divine and record them. And so some of the messages in there are actually recorded from those live times. And then what I wanted to do before I put that book out is, we talked about this at the beginning of the show, I'm so dedicated to mastering it. So I didn't want just another book, not that there's a million books from the divine, but I didn't want to just put out a book from the divine without having been able to take that information and integrate it into my life and give people the human perspective. So that's why I said it took me 10 years from the time those channels were first there to when I felt that I had integrated enough that I could write about it. And so that book has messages from Magdalene and Isis, and then it weaves in my own journey of being able to integrate those messages into my life so that it gives people a human perspective of how to apply that to live in unconditional love.
Mm. Are you the enchanted one of the title?
That is a nice question. When that title came in, the title was from Spirit, and so I was like, okay, so who's the enchanted one? I asked them that, and the answer, and I think I write it in the beginning of my book more eloquently than I'm going to say it now, but the answer was that it was me, and it was them, and it was everyone who remembered their connection to the divine. And it's also the word that I use for the divine, for oneness, enchanted oneness. So it means all that is. It means each one of us in the book, and then it means everyone who embraces unconditional love on earth, or everyone, really.
It's unified diversity is what I'm hearing you say.
Yes, yes.
Which is the paradox of the universe, of course, that we are all
right.
One, and yet that we are all also unique, mm-hmm. that there is diversity within unity and unity within diversity, and that seems so paradoxical, and yet it seems to be the fundamental truth of experience, of all that is.
Right. It's paradoxical until you feel it, right? And then it just makes perfect sense.
In what way is your book the portal to love?
Because it helps to, it guides people to live in unconditional love. So it creates a portal for people to actually live in unconditional love. And I believe there's an energy imprint in all of the messages from the divine, which create a portal energy as well. So it energetically opens people up, and then the words themselves help to guide people to being able to live in unconditional love, which sounds like such a, you know, there's two extremes. People either just go around saying, well, I love unconditionally, but they're not really able to apply that concept and or they say, that makes no sense. How could you love unconditionally? One of the key things that I talk about, and in my family, we always delineate between the two, liking someone and loving them are two different things. So I love unconditionally. I love every soul unconditionally. That doesn't mean I like their behavior. How I like someone is conditional. If I can understand people's behavior, but I still get to choose what behavior I want in my life. So if somebody, even if I see someone as an incredible spirit, because we all are, and their behaviors are incongruent with the way I want to live life, that doesn't mean that my loving them is an obligation to be with them in a specific form.
After I ask this question and you give me an answer, I want to bring up a little bit more about the goddess Isis. In what ways do you channel her vibrations?
Well, Magdalene introduced me to Isis. I did not really know of, I wasn't really connected to Isis as a being prior to Magdalene introducing me. And so as I got to know the energy that I identify as Magdalene, she told me that Isis was her spirit guide when she was alive on Earth. When Magdalene was alive on Earth, Isis was her spirit guide and guided her the way Magdalene was guiding me. So then I got to know Isis as well. And so Isis is the goddess of a thousand names, and I see her as the divine feminine. I see both of these as archetypes of the divine feminine. And I don't think that anyone has to subscribe to any storyline in order to embrace their message. But Isis, to me, is a very strong, fierce energy in a loving way, fierce love. You know, she's very strong and filled with love. At the same time, she really helps people, helped me, and then through my work has helped people to really go into some of those darker places within themselves as well. Like we talked about the pain of childbirth, but there's also emotional pain. And Isis brings in a component of embracing the full spectrum. You can't separate good emotion and bad emotion. You have to be willing to move into all of that with love. So there isn't any emotion, any person, any situation in life that can't be penetrated with love.
Her story is a wonderful, especially her story of going and gathering the pieces of Osiris that have been scattered throughout the world and reintegrating them into one living being. It's a wonderful analog or metaphor for what we all have to do in seeing ourselves and each other as separate, and then having to reintegrate all of these separate entities into and recognize them as one living organism. I think she of all the goddesses sort of carries out the human task in that way.
And she beautifully states in the Golden Ass to Lucius Apuleius, which means light, actually, meaning manifestation. So when she says, behold, Lucius, she's saying, behold, manifestation, that's us. But that she is the essence of all the goddesses and gods that are. I mean, she is the nature of all. And that, you know, that again is, I don't know if you've ever read the Golden Ass, came out during the Roman times, I think. Beautiful story, though. This guy turns himself into an ass, you know, like, I would think that's a metaphor for Western civilization at this point, but that's a whole other story. And, you know, Isis comes down and, you know, he's like, he's had, you know, because he's this ass and he's not happy with himself. And, you know, she takes him out of the curse. But beautiful, beautiful story. I don't know if you've ever read it.
I haven't, but I definitely am going to.
Yeah, well, I'll see if I can find it on the internet, and I'll, you know, if we have your email, I'll send it to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, and everything you're saying is, you know, I feel the same as I got to know her. And I don't do a lot of reading. I read. I love to read. But I don't, I have committed, especially to the beings that I work with very closely, I committed to really learning from them and then only reading, you know, when something's presented and they say, oh, yeah, you can read that now. So I haven't read a lot of history on either of them or perspectives, but everything that both of you say, you know, completely embodies what I've experienced in my journey with her. And I see her as that divine feminine and the overseers of the goddesses in a way, and also being very dedicated and part of the creation story of Earth and dedicated to bringing the Earth to its high vibrance again.
How do you help people, help your clients and so forth, to embrace love in moments when they're confronted with hatred or loss or torture or death?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, each situation is unique in its own, but when one of the things is that embracing emotion and or embracing the pain and the grief. And grief has been a gateway for me for my journey into fully remembering the oneness. I've actually experienced some pretty intense things in my life, including the being one of the only Syracuse University students to return after the bombing of Flight 103 over Lockerbie. My friends were all on that flight. I've lost, you know, my best friend to death early in life. my beloved twin flame was killed by a car. So I have lived life, and I share that in the book, and I share that with clients and with people. I don't ask anyone to do anything that I haven't been faced with. But it is it's going in and understanding and not being afraid of those emotions and not separating those emotions from the divine, allowing ourselves to be in that space. Again, separating the behavior, the situation from the person or the soul. And then also there's a whole aspect of looking at death. And when we really understand how insignificant death is, even though it feels very significant, it's a combination of letting ourselves feel the full significance of it from the earth perspective, and then knowing that relationships don't end at death. And so I think when the combination of being able to experience the full intensity of emotions while remaining in an embrace of love, and at the same time learning to navigate beyond the veil of death so that we can continue our relationships with loved one, I think those two together is part of what really helps us to navigate those difficult times.
We hear that you're also in the process of writing a screenplay, sort of novel trilogy. What can you share with us about that?
This is, you know, an exciting shift for me. I'm teamed up with two other incredible people, Zach, who's also the partner for Fractal Illumination, and Peter, a screenwriter that we've teamed up with. And we are creating both a novel and a trilogy that is fictional, and it is it's got some sci-fi and some romance and adventure in it. And the idea is, well, the premise of it, of the book one, is what happens when a galactic adventurer finds himself on a futuristic dystopian Earth. And so what we're doing is we're actually giving people the keys to remembering and understanding, but through fiction, because stories are how people have, masters have taught from the beginning of time. And because when we present a story rather than a teaching, people can just embrace it, they can live in it, they can identify in it, and they can discover it themselves. And I think that the key thing is setting up as many opportunities for people to discover what's already inside of them and to remember that versus being taught something or feeling like there's somebody superior to them telling them what to do. It's always, my passion is about guiding people, setting up space for people to ignite the memory within them. And that's what we're hoping to do with this.
Wonderful.
That's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Very powerful. And it's what education should be.
Right.
Yes. We see big things with it. So if everyone wants to just put their energy and really help that come out. The other idea is it hits masses, right? So even if everybody, you know, consciously on the spiritual journey started to read my book or your book or this or that, it would only be a small fraction of the world. But what does impact the world? It's the big screen and it's the fictional novel. So that's what people are learning from. So that's why we want to move into that genre.
Mm-hmm. What practices or experiences do you suggest for our listeners who want to pursue the divine feminine wisdom you're unfolding for us?
Well, simple. Let me give you the simplest to start with. If you go to SheilaApplegate.com, not only do you have access to see all my different programs and learn about them, if you scroll to the bottom, you get all my free stuff. So I did a radio show for years, and they're all still archived on iTunes. I've got YouTubes up there and stuff. So if you want to learn, you know, just free, tap in, learn more about what I've been saying you can access that that way. But I guess if I were to say the keys to it, if I were to give three keys to how to change your life right now, just off of these three messages, I think one, I would say change your perspective about imagination. And imagination gets a bad rap. So if you can just let yourself imagine your way, just allow yourself to imagine and get a new relationship with imagination, the world starts to change for you. So stop delineating between what's your imagination and what isn't. Just let yourself go and experience that, and kind of like the eyes of a child. And then I would say look at your beliefs and be aware of what you're doing, and start thinking about why you're doing what you're doing, and be more conscious of it. And if you're bombarding yourself with news or energy or stories or whatever noise is in your brain that you're thinking about, if that's not helping you, brainwash yourself. Start being conscious of what you want to listen to. Listen to these shows over and over, or choose what you want your brain to think about and start playing that in the background of your day. And then I know we're at the end, so I don't want to. Embracing your ego is another thing, and it's almost like a new topic, but I'm going to just ignite people in thinking that. Nothing is outside of yourself. So instead of pushing your ego away, you start to learn a new relationship to your ego and ask it to come along with you on this journey and teach it a new way of supporting you.
Oh, thank
you. Those would be my three tips.
Those were three very good pieces of advice, and three very practical and doable pieces. So that's kind of nice. Would you quickly share with us a little about your vision of the upcoming world as it becomes more healthy and fulfilling and inclusive for humanity?
Yes, I would love to. And if people do go to any of my free stuff or learn, you know, end up doing the program or whatever, it's the Vibrant Earth. I call it the Vibrant Earth or the New Earth in the meditations, and you might find some of those online. And I believe we're moving into that space. So we're moving into, we're rising our energies to a space where basically we are able to navigate the world in a higher frequency. I don't know if we have to eat anymore in that space, or if we're at the higher, kind of like, you know, the old stories of the god and the goddesses from the Greek and the Egyptian and all those stories, and they could do, you know, they had all these powers and, you know, like superhero powers, right? But they had no understanding of emotions. So they just were, you know, if they got mad, they destroyed a universe and everything. And that's where we come from. Where we're going is to be able to have that same ability to instantly manifest, to create what we see, to teleport, to be able to just navigate, to come down and to connect with people, to be telepathic with people. Those things are our natural way of being. And as we're moving out of this density and up to the other side with a mastery of emotion, we're going to be able to do that and create in a beautiful way. So instead of trying to remember and struggle and work, we're going to be creators. We're going to be creating here and playing here on Earth without the need for survival, because our physical frequency will move up beyond that.
Well, thank you. That's an encouraging note on which to end. You've given us a lot to think about. So thank you very much. This has been Sheila Applegate and her website, SheilaApplegate.com, will lead you to further ways of contacting with her or exploring her ideas. So thank you very much.
Yeah, this was a great interview, Sheila. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I had so much fun. You two are both so beautiful, and it was really fun to share in dialogue with you. I loved it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is great. Well, blessings to everyone, and may you continue to envision a fulfilling and happy and joyful life.
Thank you.